Cold Saturday morning. I'm here, Tom. I wasn't here last week. I'm sorry. I got what the kids had, and it wasn't good, and it's still not good. And it's. I think it's some kind of West Coast virus that has just hangs on forever. But I'm back in the saddle, as they say, and apologize for last week, but I just couldn't do it. I tried. I waffled a lot, but I can't do this. I got to take a day off. And so I appreciate folks here getting everything squared away. I listened to a little bit of the show. What is wrong with Pete? I don't know. God bless him. He's my son. I don't think we dropped him on his head. Anyway, if you're just headed out on the road this morning, be aware it could be icy. I left the house this morning. It was a drizzle coming down. I touched the windshield of the SUV parked in the yard, and it was all ice. And I was mentally prepared for hitting an icy road. Fortunately, the roads were clear, but I drove like they were icy just to be sure. But they, from what I could see in the dark, at least, they looked okay. But don't assume that. Just be careful if you're out and about. Obviously, it's warming up quickly. I'm kind of amazed how little snow there is on the ground in Bangor compared to down where I am. There's still a fair bit of snow, but a couple more days, by golly. Speaking of which, springtime. Hey, I made a mistake. I had been talking for a couple of weeks now that the finale of Oak Island was going to be a week and a half, week or so ago. And it wasn't. Somebody had said it was the finale, and it's not, because they're still going. And I watched Tuesday's show, and they found a wooden stake with eight sides to it. You know what that means? Yeah, you know. And then they moved the big rock, and all the gold and pearls that were supposedly underneath it. I didn't see him. Maybe if you watched, if you're as numb as me and you're watching, oh my goodness, they got it's enough said. No more Oak Island. No more talk, at least. So I've been surviving I don't like taking stuff when I have a cold, but last week I lost some days working at the house. I just couldn't. I mean, it just couldn't happen. It was like a bronchitis almost. You could feel it in my chest. It was awful, and I thought, well, maybe I got pneumonia, but I knew Pete and Maria had it, and they didn't have pneumonia, I don't think. So, but I've been taking the Dayquil, the orange Dayquil. What nasty stuff that is. But it would give me juice for about 4 hours. So I've been able to kind of push through. So we've got a lot done. And there'll be a new video up probably soon, in the next day or so, which is up to date as of yesterday. So let me just give you the quick spin here. 2 months I've had this house. I now have... Are you sitting down? Figuratively, literally, sit down for this. I have 2 toilets that flush. And the upstairs bathroom is almost completely done. We're just dealing with some trim now. Sink is in. The bathtub, which I was anticipating having great difficulty with, got put in okay. Radiator got hooked up yesterday. And it looks pretty civilized. In the downstairs bathroom, I hooked up the toilet yesterday, and I want to tell you, it fought me. I didn't want to think about the time I spent on it because it just fought every step of the way. But I got it done. Excuse me, got it hooked up. Flushes. The vanity's in place downstairs. There's one installed upstairs, all hooked up. The downstairs one, I think the faucet is coming today. If it is, we'll get that hooked up. And there's some trim for that bathroom. Shower stall base is in, and we need to do the shower stall installation. I don't have the glass doors yet because I didn't want them kicking around where I could break them. So we'll pick those up maybe this weekend. So what all this means, though, is we're within a week of moving in, I think. Pete, God bless him, has been helping me and did a lot of cleaning so my wife could come in and clean. If she came in without having Pete having done what he's done, which has helped me keep things organized, move stuff out of the way and everything, my wife would have had a heart attack if she's listening. So, but it's we're getting there. So yesterday afternoon, Pete and I took about an hour. We were doing things. I mean, you know, it's just a million little detail things. You had a piece of trim here, a piece of trim there. You got to caulk this, do that. But the ceiling for the in really the rooms we're doing, the ceilings are all a mess. And in the bedroom in particular, it had ceiling tiles, the old cellulose kind of ceiling tiles. So I picked up some plastic tiles that look like a metal ceiling. And you glue them in place. And you actually glue them in place with Loctite Power Grab construction adhesive. And they stay stuck. It's kind of amazing. And but the sheets are 2 feet by 4 feet. And it's really a two-person deal to put up that full sheet. So we did the major room, the bedroom, in less than an hour, Peter and I. And I still have to do the trim around the edges, which are small pieces that I can handle by myself. And I had a revelation here that if you're sticking these things up on the ceiling, especially if you're working by yourself, which I've been holding off because we both needed to be, it was a two-person deal. But for 2x4, 2x2, which is readily available, I could do by myself. So the next ceiling I do, which we'll be using to stick up stuff some more, we use 2x2s. Anyway, we got to take a break. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. It is good to be back. Got a lot to talk about. I actually got text messages from last week's show. Found them on the thing here. And we'll go to those when we come back. Stay with us.
you and for me. Flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours and they're mine. Love can come to everyone. The blessings in life are free.
All right, we're back. It's 8:19. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Turn that up, Tom. Don't turn that down. That's not what you're supposed to do. Let's see. We got some text messages here. Next house video, question mark, is coming. Next day or two, hopefully. It's to the young lady who does the editing for us. And another one, Oak Island. They rented a crane. Yes, they did. And they took the big rock out of the way and found nothing. They're going to have to dig now. But I think they're setting us up for something. It may not be something we want to. It could be just nothing. Well, yeah, next year will be the thing. From last week, let's see. Somebody asked about wool wax. And the cost of wool wax. How much is it? It seems to be. It's gone up a bit. I'm going to say it's around $200 to have an average car done now. A truck would be more area to cover. You just need to check around. It's worth a quick phone call to see what folks are getting. And somebody asked about on the our project house has propane. Yes, it does. I don't like propane. No, I don't. And but it's there, and it's a new boiler, and we will at least keep it for backup. The plan. And this is subject to change, but the plan as of now is to put an air-to-water heat pump in parallel with the propane, and use the heat pump primarily. Not because of this, but just because we wanted to do it. We're putting in a new service entrance. The original service entrance is just funky. The way it's kind of cobbled together. It's legal the way it is, I think, but it's not of my liking. And my electrician didn't say he hated it, but it needs to be done better. So we were maybe next week. We have to do a little bit of prep work for where the new entrance is going. There'll be a new meter trim, shut off. we need to do some insulation on the wall before that goes on. And so wasn't planning on doing that right away, but now we are. So I'm just waiting for the weather to let up. There's a lot of snow in the area where this was going to go. And in another day or two, that'll be gone. So the anticipation is maybe this week. We'll see. He's got all the stuff. He called me the other day and told me he picked up everything. We've already pre-bought all the stuff. CMP signed off on it. And what we got to do now is do the changeover. So that'll be fun. Well, let's see. Text message, morning, Tom. Sounds good live, but thought you were done on the Oak Island talk. Well, yes and no. I mean, it's just such a guilty pleasure for me to watch the show. Well, first of all, I watch the show on Wednesday morning after I have my breakfast. First thing I do, my wife will tell you, I watch the show. And I fast forward through all the stupidity. And I'm not exaggerating. 5 to 10 minutes, I'm through the whole show. So first of all, I'm not wasting an hour of my life. I am wasting 5 to 10 minutes because usually it's stupid, but there is some stuff there that's interesting, and I give them credit. It is an interesting program to sit there for an hour. And when we had cable, and I would sit there and watch that show live for an hour, I hated myself because I just urinated away an hour for what? To find a piece, another eight-sided a wooden stake. And that's interesting. I mean, there's some context there. But, okay, I'm spending too much time talking about it. See, don't do this. Don't get me started. I already did my Oak Island thing. Let's get on with life. other fun things over the past 2 weeks now has been painting. I've been painting with a frenzy. I would say about 90% of the painting is done. There's touch-up to do, but most of it is done. And it actually was fun. After doing all the drywall, the painting is a joy. I am just... I got a text message. Sorry, didn't mean to bring it up. You know, you had to ask. I mean, that's okay. That's okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at myself for indulging myself to this degree. But it is what it is. But the painting is far enough along that most of what we need to do to move in is done. Not everything, but most. And hopefully this week we'll get that wrapped up completely. A little bit of touch-up here and there, a little bit of messing around, and then mostly just putting up trim and touching up the trim. Domestic water plumbing's all mostly hooked up now. Like I said, we're going to do the faucet for what would be the first-floor bathroom vanity, if that sink faucet, if that comes today, that'll get hooked up along with the drain. And then the only other thing that needs to be done before we move in is the shower drain. I may do that today, get the shower drain hooked up. And then I've got this enclosure. It's a corner shower. It's American standard. It's plastic. And it kind of looks like subway tile. It's a nice looking enclosure, not crazy expensive. And space-wise and logistic-wise, it's a perfect fit for what we're doing. And... So I bought the base and I bought the walls, and I've got the base fitted in. I've got the drain in place. And anyway, I opened up the box where the walls are in, and I look in the box and there they are, and they're very well packaged. It's a huge box. I grabbed the instructions and they are so confusing. It almost pains me. And what it is the way the panels are made, the two wall panels, they're talking about OSB on the walls behind the shower. And I'm like, huh? Well, I've already done the walls with drywall. And I got to take that off and put OSB. It's just kind of boggling my mind. So it just wasn't clear what they were trying to explain. So I said, well, let me check YouTube, see if anybody's done a video about this. And sure shooting, somebody did a video. And first words out of the guy's mouth is, the instructions are so confusing, I wanted to do a video. And what it is OSB goes behind the panel to keep the panel from, so you have some support the way the panel is made. So if you lean on it, it doesn't deflect. Okay. That I understand. I thank the person who did. The video was not great, but he explained it way better than this booklet did that's in three foreign languages as well as English. And the English might as well have been, you know, Swahili. It just didn't make any sense. It was really hard to follow. So anyway, I've got the OSB cut. I finally cut it yesterday. And it's inside waiting for me to still figure out specifically where it goes, but that's not too hard. But, it's just the punch list is getting shorter, thank goodness. And the domestic plumbing to the showers hooked up, I just have to now, once we put the panels in, we can do the holes for the faucet, and then I will get the glass part. We'll put that up. And then that's it. It's all done. The problem is it's not all done because that gets us a bedroom and a bathroom that's two bathrooms and a bedroom that are functional. The rest of the house is semi-functional. Living room, we're not doing a lot with initially. It's in pretty good repair. The kitchen, though, is non-existent. There is no kitchen. It's been gutted, and you've seen that in the videos. We will be... pushing on that. I think the plan is, there's a couple of things, and we're going to run it now. We've still got a moment left here. In the kitchen, the new expanded kitchen, there are two closets. And I don't remember if I told the story or not, but they're about a foot deep, and you open the door, and there's shelves, and it's like a pantry closet. And there's a hole in the wall. And I get the flashlight, and I look at the hole through the hole in the wall, little the size of my index finger, and there's nothing there. And I got a tape measure, put it in, and it goes to the outside wall. So I'm assuming these might have been for storing food. But we're going to expand those closets, a little, make them a little bit bigger, and use them for other things. But that's a that's coming. So anyway, I got to take a break. It's 8:30, and we'll do this, and we'll be back, and we will continue. It's Hot and Cold Saturday morning, 8:29.
Please don't talk about me when I'm gone. Ooh, honey, though our friendship ceases from now on. And listen, if you can't say anything real nice.
I'm just a walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. It's just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go wrong. My life was lonely and blue. Yeah, I was sad as a sailor. I was an angry one too. Then there was you appeared.
All right, we're back. It's 8:34. It is Hot and Cold Saturday morning. We're headed over to Bangor Humane Society, where you can find your new best friend. And we're going to talk to Chelsea. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning.
So what's
so excited to be back.
Yeah, it's been a it's been a comedy of errors here in terms of stuff happening, but we're back.
We're back.
Yeah. What do you got for us today? Who you got?
Yeah, she is so wonderful. Her name is Shyla. She is a 10-year-old American Red Heeler mix. She is beautiful. You can go right to our website, bangorhumane.org, and take a peek at her photo. She is delightful, as you can see right in her photo.
Yeah.
She is so sweet. She's a loving senior lady with a strong spirit and an even sweeter heart. She is the kind of companion who will form a very deep, meaningful bond with her person and happily enjoys the quieter side of life. Now, it does take her more time to, you know, gain that trust with new people. So just being really slow, patient with her, giving her lots of love. Treats are definitely the way to her heart. She does love a good treat. Hmm. And just understanding that it just takes her a little bit more time to warm up to you. But once she does, oh man, her personality blossoms right through. She is looking to be the queen, so she wants to be the only dog in the home. She just wants all the attention to herself. I don't blame her. Now, as for kitties, we're saying slow and positive introductions, making sure that everyone has their own space to call their own. And then she wants to be the only baby as well. So older kiddos for this sweet girl. Now, it's always important when you're adopting any new friend to really do your research on, you know, especially if they have a specific type of breed that they are. She is a heeler, so doing that breed research is also really, really important so you have a better understanding of any pet that you're adopting. But she is so wonderful, and, you know, like I said, just that time, love, and patience, and, you know, just getting to understand her and giving her lots of treats and loving her as much as she'll let you.
Yeah, she's a pretty girl. She's on the website, bangorhumane.org. And you guys open at, I keep forgetting the open time. I know closing is at 6.
Noon.
Noon today?
Yeah. It's 1 o'clock today.
1 o'clock,
today,
okay.
So 1 p.m. today. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds good. Of course, there are a lot of cats. And,
so many.
get on the website, have a look-see, and head over today on Mount Hope Avenue. and meet Shiloh or any of the other dogs or cats. There's a lot to choose from. So you have the opportunity to spend some time with these guys and figure out who's the best fit for you.
Mm-hmm. We've got lots of wonderful friends. So
absolutely. Okay, Chelsea, it's good to talk to you again.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, bye.
All right, Chelsea, Bangor Humane Society, bangorhumane.org if you're looking. And what else we got? Oh, you guys aren't going to let this go. Eight-sided wooden stake. Is that the version more effective for hunting vampires? They could be. Maybe it's vampire. Yeah, and that could be a surprise. They dig that hole and they get down in there with all that money and there's a vampire there. You better have that eight-sided wooden stake. So what do we got? Oh, we're talking about the kitchen. So the kitchen really, I think we're going to do in steps. At least get it set up so we can see. The problem is that I need to do the floors and the ceilings in that room. And the way I like to work, especially when I'm doing kitchens and placing kitchen cabinets, have all the floor down and all the ceiling in, and then the cabinets go in place and we don't have to shim anything. Well, you do a little, but the floor goes all the way underneath the cabinets, ceiling goes all the way over the top of the cabinets, and then we put the cabinets in. I think what we're going to do, because we do have to live in a construction zone, is get the sink base and the a temporary hookup for a sink while we're doing the ceiling and the floor and stuff. We'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, it's just a question of how much time do I have? Unfortunately, I do have this business that needs me to be there at times. and that will, without any notice, take me away from whatever I'm doing. Plus, excuse me, I have to get my vacant brain in tune. You know, the dilemma has been there's so much to do. You walk in and you're just like, well, what do I do first? And even if I try to plan ahead, that doesn't always work out. But we're slowly getting that list under control. So the kitchen is next, though, as soon as I finish these other rooms. And like I say, we're just doing punch list stuff at this point. The one thing that is that has been required for the two rooms that are done, basically the two bathrooms, is the fact that floor has had to go down. And we're using laminate flooring. And there's different kinds of laminate flooring in terms of quality. And I have, over the years, used the cheapest. I can't say I've used the most expensive, but I have found, and you know, this is common sense, you get what you pay for. And I remember one project I did, I had very expensive laminate flooring that clicked together, and it drove me crazy. To the tongue and grooves, you know, they click together. And the tongues and grooves were kind of breaking on me. It's very inexpensive stuff. I won't name the place I got it at, but it's a well-known flooring place. And it was their cheap material. It looked okay. And once you got it down, and obviously there's a little bit of a learning curve with laminate flooring, I think, in general. But once it got down properly, it was okay. But I swore I'd never use that one again, and I didn't. So now we're using, the house we're in now, I had put down a went up a step in terms of quality, and it was a little bit easier to work with. And now we're using a different brand, higher quality. And we actually have two different qualities in terms of price per square foot. And you can see the difference in terms of the construction. And the less cost, lower cost one we used went together okay. except you've got two, when you're putting down a laminate floor and it's clicked together, you've got the long seam and you got the short seam. It always seems like the short seams can be challenging. I read the directions, I look at the videos, and there's some technique there. The less expensive material, the short seams were very challenging, and just I was not happy when I was done with it. The second bathroom I did, we used a more expensive material, and that went together a lot better, although I had one seam that just wouldn't go together right, and it's going to need to be glued. It's just popped up a little, and I can push it down. And normally what you do is you click together the long seam, and then you bring the you've already brought together the two mating short seams, and you hit it with a rubber mallet. And usually they nest together beautifully, and then sometimes they don't. But this one, the more expensive material basically went together fine. One of the things I also did was I bought a shear for laminate flooring, which eliminates, any I've done up till this project, I've used table saw or a chop saw. Works fine. Generates a lot of dust. Is what it is, right? With a shear, you don't have that. And I found with the last project I did about 5 years ago, I could use a square and a razor knife, and I could score it and pop it. Well, the shear does kind of the same thing with a little bit without having to mess around with the knife and some bozo like me cutting his fingers or whatever. So I picked up a shear, and I have to say it works really nice. So for shortcuts across the lesser width, if you will, you just chop it right off. And that's most of what you wind up doing, except if you're finishing up or you're cutting in a doorway or something like that, then you need to use a jigsaw or a table saw. And I've done that. But a lot less dust, and it's a lot faster. And it works well. So then the challenge became in dealing with this. I'm dealing with a house with radiators, is getting around radiators. And in the downstairs bathroom, we have a radiator that's already plumbed in place. And I didn't want to unhook it because it's hooked to the heating system. The upstairs radiator, we had removed the pipes. That's been replumbed. So, I could drill holes because we didn't put the radiator in. I could put the floor in. And then hooked up the radiator last night. So that was simple. Downstairs was another story. And I brought a small jack to try to lift the radiator just to get the flooring underneath. And it wasn't a real wide radiator, so it didn't quite work the way I hoped it would. And what I wound up doing was making taking a piece of wood and cutting one edge at a little bit of an angle, and using it as a shim to get underneath to lift the legs from one side to the other so I could slip the flooring underneath. And that did work. So, it's just one of those things. You try to figure it out as you're going along. Well, let's see. I got a text message here. Tom, I've been watching your YouTube videos of Project House. You've shown the basement. And you had sent this message last week, and I just answered. He's asking about the propane. we're going to be doing a air-to-water heat pump. What one it's going to be, I have one in my shop that might be functional. I happen to be talking to a heat pump company on a different matter. Out of the blue, a guy contacted me. Actually, they're interested in storage tanks and wanted to buy tanks from us. And they said, well, we're not making tanks anymore, but I'll sell you the business. I'll give you one stinking good deal. So we've been going back and forth. We haven't really talked too much about heat pumps. And I've been looking overseas to see who has what. This kind of amazes me. There are so few vendors of air-to-water heat pumps, because that, to me, is the next logical step. And in a house like this with old radiators, I think it's a good fit. Certainly, if you got a radiant floor, it's an outstanding fit. And you can use convectors. but I think a radiator or radiant panels would be a good fit as well. So that's the plan. Tom, would you be willing to share the names and brands of the floorings you're talking about? We're considering what to use for ourselves. Well, the flooring I'm using right now came from Home Depot. And the company is, I think it's LifeProof. And I don't remember there's different grades. I think the less expensive material that we used had a 22 mil thick wearing surface, and the better one was 30 mils. I don't remember the name of the actual design of between the two, except I do remember the wearing surface because I've been looking at the boxes as I've been taking the stuff out. And they both work reasonably well. I was not happy with the 22 mil material. It just fought me way too much. And here's another thing. It seems, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems the cheaper material tends to be narrower, whereas the more expensive is wider. And I think the more expensive stuff I've been working with is about 7 or 8 inches, where the cheaper is maybe 5 or 6. And that's when you go in the store, it doesn't matter. You don't have to go to Home Depot. I mean, you can go anywhere and look at, click together flooring, laminate flooring. What struck me when I opened the box of the more expensive stuff was the size of the tongues and the grooves. They were just more substantial. And I think that, I could be wrong. If you're a flooring person, feel free to jump all over me on this. But it seems to me that the bigger and more substantial that tongue and groove is, the better it is for getting a good connection from piece to piece. And the other part of this, too, is that as you're laying down these floors, you really need to maintain that expansion space around the perimeter of the room. Because, like right now, humidity levels are so low. We've had the long, cold, dry winter, drying out everything, wood, laminate floor, whatever. So it's all shrunk. And guess what happens in May, June, July, August? We get all this humidity and everything expands. So we don't want to be getting into mischief there by not having that expansion joint. So what I'm usually doing is for the upstairs bathroom, I made baseboards out of 3/4 inch MDF. And my buddy Matt doesn't like MDF. He calls it cardboard. It's not cardboard. It's and this is my justification. Tommy Silva and Norm MacDonald of This Old House both like MDF. Okay. They know more about it than I do. I do like working with wood. I love working with pine. I trimmed the windows in pine. But for the baseboard, I needed a big baseboard, and I wanted to not be messing around with bleed through from knots and stuff. So I got MDF, and I cut my own baseboards. I did a quarter round on them and painted them white. And that worked fine. So I've got 3/4 inch that would cover that gap. But sometimes Mr. Stupid here might come in a little shy. So a lot of times, any baseboard, you put it on the floor, there's apt to be a gap because the floor, especially in an old house, might not be perfectly flat. So I get quarter round to go on the over the bottom of the baseboard. And the quarter round is very flat. I usually get PVC quarter round because it's so flexible. And to me, that's a great benefit for getting getting a nice tight looking joint where the floor meets the quarter round. And I don't want to see gaps. After baseboard goes in, after quarter round goes in, the caulking gun comes out, and if there is any gap showing, it gets caulked and then eventually gets painted. That's the plan, at least, to get it painted. At some point, if you don't paint it, you'll find that the dust tends to accumulate on that un- protected joint if it's like a latex caulk, and then you got to paint it. I learned that one. So anyway, you know, and if you don't like MDF, that's okay. But be prepared to get the kills out if you're like me and you buy stuff with knots in it, or get a I picked up a gallon of clear water-based urethane for the wood trim that I did around the windows, doing the clear finish, and got to do that. Then we got window shades to go up. God, the list just keeps going and going and going. But if the video gets up this weekend, you check on YouTube, you might get a kick out of it. There's a lot got done in the past, 2 weeks? I think it's about 3 weeks since we shot video. And I've been sick for about a week in there where I didn't get a lot done. But this past week, we knocked out a lot of stuff. So Pete didn't want me to leave the water on. He thought I'd have a leak. Come on. And I did for a couple of days. I shut the water off and I said, you know what? I'm Tom Gosey. I've been doing PEX tubing for a long time. Ain't nothing leaking. Oh, one other thing. This has driven me crazy for a couple of days. I have since come around. The toilets I got came with their own, wax ring, except it wasn't a wax ring. It's like a butyl caulk ring. Which is okay. They make now. If you go, I went to a hardware store yesterday. I wanted a wax ring because the downstairs bathroom, the toilet flange is a little bit recessed into the old tile floor, and I wanted to bump it up a bit with a two wax rings, one on top of another, which was there originally. And I went to go get a second wax ring. I wasn't going to use the butyl one. The hardware store didn't have any. Everybody's using foam rings now, which have some benefit, I'll admit. And I actually, I wanted to get it done. So I got the foam ring. And it was quite tall. And it was very resilient. And I put it in. I wasn't happy about it. But give me a wax. I don't know what it is about wax rings. But, you know, they've proven the problem is, well, I guess the problem is this. If you had a radiant floor in your bathroom and you got wax rings, maybe they soften and leak. I don't know. But I was not happy. I mean, you know, you go to the hardware store, you want a wax ring. Give me a wax ring, man. There were none. And I wasn't going to go to another store. I'm going to get this done. I was about an hour and a half trying to get everything hooked up just because of the logistics where the toilet was. There wasn't a lot of room. But I got it, by golly. We got to take a break.
I got to get drunk and I sure do dread it because I know just what I'm going to do.
Be right back.
Start to spend my money, call everybody honey, and wind up singing the blues. I'll spend my whole paycheck on some old wreck, and brother, I could name you a few. Well, I gotta get drunk and I sure do dread it, cause I know just what I'm gonna do. Well, I gotta get drunk, Lord, I can't stay sober. There's a lot of good people in town. They love to hear me holler, see me spend my dollars. I wouldn't think of letting them down. Well, there's a lot of good doctors keep telling me, George, you better start slowing it down.
But there's more old drunks than there are old doctors, so I guess we better have another round.
Hand it to me now. Dance.
All right, we're back. It's 8:30. Oh, gosh, it's 9:05. Where'd that morning go? I'm not sure. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Yeah, I've been listening to you quite a few years, and I've called in a few times to get your opinion, and I have a question for you.
Sure.
On concrete floors, I got a 10-year-old garage, and I'd like to paint it. Yes, there's grease, oil spots on it. I've watched quite a few videos. Just wondering your opinion on the product, a good product to use, and how about going to do it?
Yeah. We did.
I'll hang.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and hang up, and I'll tell you what I know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That won't take too long. Thank you. Excuse me. So we did our floor in our shop. We put the slab down, and I didn't cover it. We put it down. We put it down in October, and we made arrangements to have the building put up. They came in January, and of course, it was covered with ice, 2 inches of ice. And what are we going to do? So we wound up trying a lot of different things. We were plowing it and the rest, but we wound up putting salt down on it, or ice melt, the only thing we could do. Crew was coming, and we got it cleared. Well, of course, that damaged the finish on the concrete, in my case. And we lived with it for a couple of years like that. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. And I wanted to do something to seal it. And just a regular paint, I knew it was going to come up. Although it had a lot of extended surface for paint to kind of grab into. So what I wound up using was an epoxy paint. And Rust-Oleum makes an epoxy paint. It's some kind of garage paint. I don't remember the exact brand name. But they sold it on Amazon. I think Home Depot sells it too. And I'm sure there's other epoxy paints out there. When you're dealing with grease, though, and stuff, you really there's some surface prep you need to do. And we power washed everything. So obviously this is a summertime thing where it has to dry out. And it has stuck pretty well, and it has really sealed the surface reasonably well. But what I wound up doing was I think I bought a couple of sets from Amazon because they were reasonably priced. But then I got onto eBay just to see if there was, you know, for me, if I'm home, if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know this. If I'm home watching TV, I will shop really hard. And one of the places I shop is eBay. It's not necessarily the best place to shop, but it's worth a look-see. And I found some pretty good deals there on that specific product and picked it up and did it. I should probably I don't need to do it again, but the area where we have a lot of traffic just gets beat up and could probably be redone. I'm probably not going to do it, but it's there if I need to. So hope that helps. I think an epoxy product, and they do sell, you know, that was like a 2 gallon, 1 or 2 gallon setup, I think, as I recall. They do sell bigger volume systems, and it comes with a roller. You just kind of roll it out, and then they got these little speckly things you throw on the floor. You don't have to use them. I did because it kind of made it look better. It hit blemishes really well. So, and I've been happy with the result. I wasn't necessarily the cheapest thing I've ever done, but I have a 2,000 square foot space that we did. So, let's see. What am I missed here? Unrelated to, well, so I was talking about closets a while ago. And we've got these two closets that are essentially in the kitchen. And they have wooden shelves, they got wooden backs, and they're only about a foot deep. And my wife would like to have more storage than a foot deep closet. So as it turns out, the facade to the closet, which is basically the width of the door with the trim, is all wood. It's the wood trim, basically. It's a little thicker than normal, but and the hinge, door hinges are on it. And so I picked up some combo recip saw blades that cut metal, like nails, and wood. And we're just going to slice that facade off and then extend the closet out so we could actually have either deeper shelves or hang things in it. And in the process, of course, now I have to insulate the back side of the closet. So we'll have to show what happens there. But the back wall of that closet is wood. So that'll come out. And I think it'll come out. I'm not sure what exactly we're doing there yet. But those closets, we will be lining with cedar because they will not be for food. So that's the one messy thing I've got to do before we move in. I'd like to have it done before we move in. I can isolate that from the rest of the house, that area, but it's got to be done. So I've got the recip saw blades and just counting down the minutes to for that project to come. As I've been painting doors in particular, I've got some doors that don't want to close now. And, you know, over the years, the edges tend to wear together, or if they do bind up, they'll wear down a bit. And, of course, if you put paint on, a couple coats of paint, a lot of times it'll bind in one spot. And I've got an electric planer, but, man, that's a mess. It throws stuff everywhere. I could hook it up to a vacuum. But I don't need brute force planing. As I looked at the doors that are binding, there's just one little spot they're binding. And I don't have a good wood plane, a hand plane. So I grabbed one this morning just so, you know, I could do it nice and easy, just take off what we need to take off and not make a huge mess. You know, we spent a lot of time trying to get cleaned up from all the stuff that makes a mess. So I had to do some planing with the power planer several weeks ago, and it was a mess. So it should go back to the shop. I still have it at the house, but if it's at the house, I'm more tempted to probably use it. But I got a nice little hand plane, perfect for what I've got to do. It's not very much, and I should have had one. I've had one, and it got disintegrated somewhere along the way. Probably got lost in the fire. So anyway, we got that fun project to go. This is unrelated to the house project, but it's an interesting one. I got new glasses this past week. And, you know, I get online and I order my glasses. I had a eye checkup, I think, in December. And my prescription changed slightly. And so I went and ordered some glasses. And they came. And I like them. They're nice glasses. They've got a, you know, they will change color in serious glare and sunlight. But I found an interesting dilemma. And I haven't looked them up yet to see what I bought. But I have an iPhone. I have an iPhone 16e that has facial recognition. And it will not recognize me while I have the glasses on. So, you know, I'm using the phone, and I have to type in my passcode. And I'm like, what happened to facial ID? And then I thought, I look at facial ID. It says, learn the glasses. You know, I go do that. Still ain't working. So then I just lifted my glasses up, still on my face, but apparently they look at your pupils in your eyes, and it opens right up. So now I have to do that anytime if I don't want to punch the code in. It's faster. I mean, the facial ID is kind of a cool feature because it just gets you right into your phone right away. But, you know, who has time for this stuff? I don't know. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Our phone number, 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. We'll be back.
Trains are running towards each other. Shotguns are pointed at my head. Tornado clouds are forming o'er the crossroads. H-bombs are falling towards my bed, but I'm still here. I'm still here, how about that? My city may be falling, but I'm still here. Assassination squad has got their orders. The repossession man is on his way. Landlady's given me her notice. I'll get pitched out with the trash just any day, but I'm still here. I'm still here. Now ain't that slick? I may have lost my...
All right, we're back. It's 919, a hot and cold Saturday morning. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. I have not checked the oh, my goodness, we got messages. Oh, my microwave is just spraying ahead. My Generac guy here servicing my generator informed me that we will no longer be moving our clocks back to the fall in Eastern Standard Time. He said we are always going to be on daylight savings time. Thoughts? I got no problem with that. It's kind of annoying that it goes back and forth. I think it's kind of an antiquated thing. I haven't heard that that's going to happen, but I got no problem with it. Well, let's see. Curious minds want to know, how are you going to move in soon in a couple of weeks without a kitchen? We've done it before. I mean, the house we're in now, we did not have a kitchen when we moved in. We did have a microwave that was going in the kitchen, you know, under a cabinet microwave. We use that. We have a laundry sink, so we're not without that aspect of it. We made it through. We'll do it again. It's some people, it's a big deal. Kitchen's got to be there. I would prefer the kitchen be there, but I would like to get out of the house I'm in, get it up on the market. You know, I have to do a little touch-up, some paint touch-up here and there after we're out, and then we'll do the kitchen. So, oh, my, here's a big one. excuse me. Tom, could you talk a little bit about the new energy codes? came out in April 2025, where they're mandating an R30 exterior walls. Some contractors using 2 inches of exterior foam on the side of the studs, half inch OSB. Seems like you would lose a lot of shear strength with your 3 1/4 inch framing nails only going into the studs 3/4 inch, which does not pass code. Alternatives 2x8 exterior stud wall. Does nothing for thermal bridging, double stud wall, adds a ton of expense. And then the state complains about us not being able to build affordable housing. Yeah. Well, here's what I do, and what I've done, excuse me. There's ways around this to make it work. Longer fasteners certainly help. Screws would certainly be more appropriate than nails. I'm not a fan of nails in structural issues in building construction. But what I would do in this case is build a wall. Let's say it's a 2x6 wall. OSB it. Foam over the OSB. Strapping over the foam. And the strapping is holding the foam in place. It's also holding the siding. Obviously, your siding, assuming you're doing siding, not shingles. And you've got an airspace behind the siding now, so if moisture does get in back of the siding, which happens, it can dry quicker. and that would, in fact, work to your advantage. It's a little different. Some people, building construction, some people are going to, and I've dealt with this a lot over the years, some contractors will look at you like you've got a third head. It works. And there's other ways around it. I mean, you could spray foam the wall, which isn't necessarily the cheapest way to go. But the 2 inches of foam on the outside over the OSB. So the OSB is in, you're giving you good shear strength, racking resistance on the wall. That's relatively easy. Let's see, another message. Just curious, did you get the anti-glare coating on your new glass? I don't know what I got on it. I just got new lenses for over $700 and they didn't put them on. Well, I will share with you. I usually buy my glasses online. I got these at Zenni Optical. They were $90 and they have some kind of magic coating. I'm happy with them. I'm going to guess, and I could be wrong, there's some kind of blue block technology, some kind of blue light comes off video screens to hurt your eyes. I think that might be what's there. And I just haven't had the thought of it while I'm sitting there in front of the computer to look it up, because usually I'm looking up kitchen sinks or some other stupid thing. Oh, man, my phone number here, 1-800-966-1039, text 601-207-4478. I had picked up at a regular car auction, I picked up a repo car. Carvana sold it. It was a repo, and it was a 2017 Prius Prime, and looking at it after I bought it, it was quite inexpensive. It was beat, but it appears to have been a rollover. I said, well, it's got a lot of parts. It was inexpensive enough that it's worth parts. So it arrived, and it didn't run. And I got it running a week or so ago, and I drove it into the shop, and I had one tire that was flat. The TPMS sensor, where you fill the air and it measures it, somehow that got damaged. So I said, just put a regular valve stem in. I just want to get air in the tire so I could drive the car around. So we did that, and I hired my windshield guy to come over to take the windshield out because the windshield had been shattered. Was that my phone talking to me? I guess not. Anyway, did you hear that? I heard it. So we got the windshield out and got the roof roof wasn't really that badly damaged, bad enough that it, but you take out a windshield and it's just shattered. The windshields are held in with a urethane caulk, which is pretty robust stuff. So I had Randy, my windshield guy, come and he took it out. And the two of us put the thing in the dumpster. And we have glass slivers and shards everywhere. I have vacuumed this car multiple times and there's still stuff kicking around. And it was on the floor. It's in the shop vac. I didn't empty the shop vac because it was really cold when I did it. I have to go out to the dumpster. I heard about that yesterday from Maria. You can wrap the car in plastic, so it's protected from the weather. The other thing was it had broken rear hatch and windshield. So it had filled with snow and 2 inches of ice roughly on the floors. So when I got it running, I brought it in the shop last week to let it dry out. Excuse me. Now, this is in my shop with a radiant floor. What the car floor is off the radiant floor, maybe 8 inches. And I want to say it took a good 2 to 3 days. No, it took more than that. It was maybe 4 or 5 days till all the ice went out, so to speak. And there was stuff frozen in the ice. It was a mess. And so I, you know, cleaned it up and let it dry out best I could. And I just moved it out yesterday, and it's drivable. It's kind of interesting. It had a little dew flicker on the battery that had broken. It's some kind of a sensor and had broken. And it was, you know, dead. And that's not typical of a lot of cars. Most cars, unless they have an inertia switch, which shuts the car down, most cars do not have, usually have some signs of life. But this one didn't. Anyway, if you may have heard that ringing in the background. Did you hear that ringing in the background?
It might seem crazy wearing stripes of pride.
And I know there's going to be a complaint about this song, but it's Weird Al, and that's what counts because Pete kind of likes the Weird Al, don't you, Pete?
Why don't you play some good Weird Al when I call in? Not that. That you're playing Weird Al that nobody's ever heard before because it's not good. Play some good Weird Al.
That's good Weird Al right there. You need to make me a list, okay? If I have
I'll make you a list.
I've been on
in like a month.
I know. Everybody is.
I don't know if everybody told you, but like the cold that he has, that Tom has, is a cold. I didn't have a cold. I had a cold with like 4 days of 102 fever in the middle of it. And it happened about 6 months ago, too. I think it's my statin.
Okay. You think that?
So everybody that prescribes the statin says it's not, but everything else says it is.
Okay.
It screws with your immune system response.
Hmm.
But yeah, I was out for a while. I was down, and I'm still out. Because I've got intercostal muscle strain in my ribs as well. I got bruised ribs.
Man, I tell you what, you're falling apart.
I'm falling apart. I haven't felt normal since mid-February.
Yeah, well, I can attest to the fact.
I'm not putting any ceiling tiles up today because that motion was not helpful.
Yeah, you know, I was a little sore too. I didn't know if it was from messing with the toilet or the ceiling tiles, but I felt I had some muscles that don't normally bother me.
In your case, I'd say it was probably the toilet because you were lifting something heavy. I was just lifting plastic above my head, but it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
My arms don't want to go up right now.
Yeah.
Well, when I went to, so what happened was I got sick, had the fever for a week, got over that, then I was into the coughing phase of the illness. And then I went, I shoveled out a walkway, had a coughing fit, and I started pulling muscles all through my rib cage. And that, you know, when you pull a muscle from coughing, guess what happens? Every time you cough, it ain't getting better. So yeah. It's like 4 days of like, I had to hold a pillow when I coughed, and I was wide-eyed. So, but before that, I did it on both sides, but the right side was lower rib cage. The left side was like, it wasn't like where my heart is, but it was close enough. So I was a little bit concerned, so I wound up going to walk-in care. Guy says to me, he says, yeah, you'll feel better in about 2 to 8 weeks. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, it's rib muscle. It's like every time you twist and turn, you're aggravating it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, you were in bad shape. I mean, I felt bad for Pete. He was, and you know, you were trying, and it was.
I do my best.
Yeah, but you know, having gotten a blush of what you guys had, I was not happy. I did not feel good.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so the whole month of February and the first part of March has been two steps forward, one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's the other thing. So everybody knows when you're getting better after a cold, when you talk, it makes you cough. So I was trying not to talk because it would make me cough. So we had like a half dozen cars go out in 6 days, or 3 days rather.
Yeah.
Like people just kept coming in and buying cars and making me cough. I'm sitting behind the counter like trying to stifle, you know, because again, you don't want to cough when you know, even if you're not contagious anymore. It's a little bit rude. So I didn't want to cough, so I'm like trying to stifle it. I'm getting wide-eyed and sweating while I'm doing the paperwork.
Yeah, yeah.
It all worked out, though. Everybody got their cars. I'm on the mend. We got the ceiling tiles up.
Yeah. It's progress on all fronts. And you
this morning's not going too smooth, but I'm here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so that's the other thing, is we sold a bunch of cars all at once. So I'm down to, like, three cars right now. Three very nice cars, but I'm down to two RAV4s and a Prius C. So if you're interested in a RAV4 or a Prius C, I'm your guy today.
Okay.
And I can talk now, too, without breaking out into coughing. So
all right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We got to take a quick break, Pete.
Let's take a break.
Catch your breath. And we'll be right.
All right.
We'll be right back. It is Hot and Gold. Pete, you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. Let's see. We got so we got rid of the girls from Texas. There we go. And I'm just going to check the voicemail. Oh, we got some voicemails. Did Weird? Here's a good question. Did Weird Al ever do a Creedence song? I think he did.
I don't believe so. He would do, on his earlier albums, he would do a thing called a polka party, right?
Yeah.
Which is where it was basically a polka song. What he would just drop in lyrics from popular songs at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, if it was, like, the 80s, you know, he'd have, like, you know, Madonna or Dire Straits or something like that. It wouldn't be a spoof. It would be the actual lyrics done to polka music. So he might have done a CCR lyric in there like that.
Well, that's...
But I don't think he ever directly spoofed one of their songs. And then, fun fact, he will not spoof your song unless you give him permission to. And he doesn't have to get permission. It's a parody. But he will... If you don't say so, he won't let you.
That's because Weird Al is an upright guy.
If you don't say so, he won't do it.
He's a
good
guy.
I guess he's a very very detail oriented and professional when he's doing his shows and rehearsals and stuff.
Okay, so you're gonna love this question.
What other Weird Al questions do we have?
This is not a Weird Al question. Can we get
out.
Pete's assessment of the rolled over Prius that had a broken windshield and 4 inches of snow in the interior?
I don't know if can I, you got the bleep button ready?
No.
You know what we don't need?
What?
A rolled over Prius that had 4 inches of snow in the interior.
Well,
you know what he did? He told me he wanted it for the headlights, because admittedly, they're expensive headlights. Guess what's broken? The headlights.
Now, one headlight is damaged.
One headlight's broken. Yeah.
Still worthy.
You know what I could do with right now?
We
you know what
sell
I can
it.
Handle
yeah.
being on my desk at this moment?
Mm-hmm.
The stack of money you paid for that rollover car. You're like, oh, I got it running. So what?
Well,
we can drive it onto the tow truck.
If the right person, and I'll sell it to somebody who wants a project, a fun project. It'd make
not
a cool
project. It's not even going to be a project.
It would be a project. This would make an awesome pickup truck. You get the recip saw
no,
out.
No, it would not. You know what would make an awesome pickup truck? A pickup truck would make an awesome pickup truck.
We got those.
You ever watch, I watch, you know, when you watch stuff online, your algorithm changes and they start showing you more of it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, like you, I've got a bunch of, like, car stuff that comes up now, you know, like mechanic shops that do YouTube videos and things like that, car dealerships. And there was this one, and they're talking about every so often they'll go around and they'll say, what's the best car, in your opinion, to own? And it's funny because they're all talking to mechanics. So they're all like, you know, you expect them to be like, well, you know, the 2012 Toyota Camry is an excellent vehicle, goes 400,000, you know, that sort of thing. No, they're always like, The 1992 Ford Ranger with the 1.6. I'm like, dude, that's not applicable. Like, they're not asking the question to get that opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting, though.
Well, honestly, the 1986 Monte Carlo was one of the best engines ever. You know, dude, you're the mechanic. We get it. But they mean, like, for the rank and file.
Yeah. A lot of the people that, when I see those kind of things, they usually are saying Toyota. But number one usually is Toyota. Honda sometimes.
Oh, it's always Toyota I haven't had terribly great luck with Hondas in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I found as a car dealer, I've seen that getting cars through, we generally have more stuff we have to chase down on Hondas than we do on Fords.
We do, and that's the reason we don't grab them that much, just because of
They're not bad. Here's the thing: is I think they attract a certain. I think Toyotas attract this sometimes too. People that like, oh, it's a reliable car. I don't have to do anything to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they start ignoring little things, and then we get it, and we're not going to sell it that way, so we got to start chasing everything down that the previous owner ignored.
Yeah. Yeah, I generally, there's always exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, we have to chase down less on Toyotas. From my point of view, I like that, but also I don't want to have a customer chasing down something. You know, that sneaks. There's enough stuff. Murphy's Law rules the world, and there's enough of stuff that goes without having to challenge oneself with something marginal like that or not like a Toyota or whatever. I got a message here. Big fan of two Mazda 3s, Toyota reliability without the price. That's true.
Mazdas have got some, especially the 3s was a joint vehicle with Toyota, wasn't it?
Yes.
If I remember correctly?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then for a while, Mazda was using transmissions made by another manufacturer that was giving them a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I think around 2016, they shifted off to Mazda-made transmissions, and I guess the quality is getting a lot better. Yeah. They're not, you know, Toyota reliable. I'm not talking about the 3s here, but just like the general rank-and-file models, but they are ahead of a lot of other brands. Well, you know, what's a really interesting video is when they ask mechanics, what's a car brand you would never buy? And there is a consistent answer that I won't say because I'm not going to start fires. But
I know that answer.
There are certain brands that just keep coming up and coming up and coming up under the I would never buy. You know, anybody that knows a mechanic or knows anybody that works in cars, if you ask them what's the best car, they're all like, yeah, everybody's got the same answer. We're like, no, that really isn't one. There's which car will give you the least problems.
Yeah.
And usually that one's Toyota or Honda.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's always an exception. I mean, there's always somebody that's got a Ford with, 300,000 miles on it or,
That reminds me.
It's a matter of how well you take care of the car in most cases. A lot of American cars are a lot cheaper to maintain. So if you maintain them, they'll go for a long time. You'll probably wind up spending the same amount as you would on a more expensive brand. But
there was at the auction last week, 2010 Toyota Highlander. With 441,000 miles on it. And I didn't see what it went for, but I got in, started it up. No lights were on. It said 441 on it. And then I looked underneath.
Well, it doesn't get the 441 by not being maintained.
Yeah, except they didn't undercoat it. And I didn't look too close. I looked, when you're talking 2010, you're going to start to see rust. And this one had a little bit. It was a little crusty.
400,000 miles of salt splashing up under there.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I mean, it's one of those things we contend with where it's just, there are so many people I have come through looking at cars. The car they've got is running perfectly fine, but it's just disintegrating. And, every time it gets brought up, the idea of getting rid of state inspections for the state of Maine, believe me, the car dealer in me wants that because life would be so immeasurably easier without state inspections. But the reasonable human being in me is like, we can't do that in Maine because people will be driving cars that are just breaking and they'll literally folding in half.
Yeah,
they'll run them until they're definitively unsafe.
I'm
not saying a car that's rusty enough to fail inspection is definitively unsafe. I'm saying people will push them way past that.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Message here: Tom's Prius fine, quote unquote. Sounds like every episode of Oak Island. Okay, I'll give you that, but I was happy with it. I'm driving it around the parking lot. Well, you know what? When the weather gets warm, no windshield, cool. I'll put my dealer plate on, go drive around town.
Go for a ride down the street.
That's right. I'll give my right arm
you
for a
pulled over in that one.
I'd give my right arm for a 2014 Toyota FJ Cruiser if it was automatic. Okay.
They're out there.
They are out there. They're not cheap.
They're expensive, yeah.
They are expensive. They're cool, though. I mean, and they're made to just be, I don't know, is it kind of like a Ford Bronco, or it's kind of trying to look more macho?
I've driven them. They are very fun to drive. We actually, yeah. Speaking of rust, we had one of those that was it was an older model. It was like maybe 9 or 10 or something. Yeah. But what's that?
It was 8 or 9, something like that.
8 or a 9. And it ran just great. It ran perfectly, and it was just too rusty.
Yeah.
And it was here's the thing. It was rusty to the point that we could have fixed it, but we would have been like way, way over, you know, retail value at that point. We're not way, way over, but we wouldn't have made any money on it, so what's the point of taking the liability on it? You know, it's one of those things. It would have been, I had it up for sale as is for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, somebody will want to fix it, and they'll have an FJ, and they can keep after it and take care of it, but it just didn't happen. It was sad, but I think we sent it back to auction, right?
We did. Somebody picked it up, and we had one. We had a, speaking of rusty buckets, we had a Toyota truck that wasn't bad. Excuse me. It was a nice-looking truck, and it was a little too rough under. The frame was a little too rough, and our guy didn't want to mess with it. So we put it up for sale as is, and some other dealer comes and buys it.
And I sold that truck.
He bought it for his son, and he looks at I said, you know, I'll give you a creeper. You can look at the frame. I showed him exactly where it was, and it was repairable even. He says, oh, that's not bad. It's better than the truck I have, which he had to do away with. And he was happy to take it. And we were happy to get rid of it.
Well, now, when I say I sold that truck, I mean I had this young man come in to buy an 09. It was a Tacoma. I had an 09 Tacoma, and he bought it. But this rusty truck was also an 09 Tacoma.
Oh, that's
right.
So I
filled out the wrong paperwork. Yeah, and I sold the wrong Tacoma. And I got it fixed right away, but yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, and that's another interesting point, too, as far as rust goes. Rust does not mean the car is dead. It means the car won't pass inspection. A lot of times it can be repaired. The catch is you got to find somebody who will do it. And there's a couple different reasons why a lot of shops don't screw around with rust. One is it can get expensive quickly. So, you know, if they start on it and they're into it like $500, $600 in labor, and then something else just falls off and they've got to do more, another $500, $600,000, you know, do you want them to do that or not? And then what point are you at? Is the car still not inspectable, but this guy's into it, you know, his work for $500. So a lot of them just don't want to deal with that liability aspect to it. Then there's also the aesthetic aspect. Well, what if it's like the rocker panels and the customer doesn't like the way it looks when it's done? Well, then who's left holding the bag there? That's why a lot of places won't touch it. So I'm gonna let you in on something. If mechanics have a very good nose for who's going to be high maintenance and who's going to be reasonable, and I'm just going to throw that out there. If you have trouble finding one, that maybe it's you. Maybe it's you.
Okay. We got another message here. If there's no windshield, can it be failed for a cracked windshield? No.
No, it can't.
That's right.
And old Jeeps had windshields that folded down, so it must be okay to some degree.
Yeah. And the Volkswagen buses, the old split-window Volkswagen buses had safari windows that would tip up. So you get nice cooling if you're in the out on the savannah chasing elephants.
I would go so far as to say if you got pulled over for having no windshield, you'd be able to get out of it if you took it to court. Because you could say, how did that officer know I didn't have a windshield before he pulled me over? Right? It's glass. It's clear.
It's very clear.
You know, yeah, you can't pull me over for something that you don't know is wrong. You know what I mean? Before it's, you see my logic there.
That's
good,
boy.
Attorney at law.
That's Pete Goes, the attorney at law. I could see that now. It's better call Pete. Yeah. Okay. So are we gonna go do stuff.
So what else?
Are we gonna go work on the house again today? I guess you have to recuperate for a couple days now.
I can't. I can't do any ceiling tiles, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, it's like that just that upward motion is it stretches the ribs too much.
Well, you're delicate, I guess.
I had a nice dinner of Aleve.
Oh, nice.
Or dessert. I had a dessert of Aleve.
Yeah. Well, I've been...
I had some salmon, so that's
I thought yesterday I was in good shape. I thought, well, I didn't take any DayQuil. And then I remembered I took it before I left the house yesterday morning.
Yeah, like I took it and I forgot because that's how DayQuil works.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like the way DayQuil feels. And
I don't either.
I've taken NyQuil before, and I don't care for NyQuil because it knocks you out, and especially when you're sick. Great, you sleep, but if your mouth is open a little bit, it's going to dry your throat out real fast, and you're going to wake up real raw and in pain.
I don't like taking stuff like that, and I usually do not because it just makes me feel miserable. But in this case, and Maria and I were talking about it, and she looked it up. There's some kind of, and she had a term for it, and she's probably going to message me. There's some kind of virus out on the West Coast that sounds like what everybody's been having here in Maine, which is just lingers forever with a really nice cough. And I was telling people about a week ago, I have perfected the cough. It's better now, but I had a really good, productive-sounding cough. If I wanted to have a really good cough, I was very proud of this. But it was not fun, and it just at some point it just dragged you right down. Fortunately, I have the luxury of I can just go home if I have to. And
I try to get you to go home when you feel fine.
Yeah. And, you know, when Pete and Maria were sick, they, stay home. First of all, I didn't want to get sick, which that worked out real well. But second of all,
I had 101 degree fever. I wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. And your mother was getting very upset about the fever because it just kept recurring every day. It was coming back.
It was four solid days. Tylenol was barely touching it.
Yeah.
So something weird's going on. You know what's interesting? I read the other day, Gene Kelly, when he did the Singing in the Rain scene, he had 103 fever when he did that. And I cannot, the highest mine got that I was aware of was 102.5.
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine dancing in artificial rain and singing with that big smile on his face.
And he did it in one take.
No, I would have quit. I'd be like, not doing it. Sorry.
Well,
Big Crosby in here. Forget it.
It was tougher stuff than us, I guess. But that's amazing when you think about it.
Gene Kelly outmanned me.
Well, the people who we're really getting off topic a little bit, I guess. But people would compare Gene Kelly to Fred Astaire. And they said Fred Astaire was kind of a lofty, kind of wispy. And obviously, he was built like that. And Gene Kelly was kind of like a street fighter dancer. And obviously,
I was going to say they should do an AI video of Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire boxing.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. But they did perform together in something, didn't they? I think your mother would know this. We had all the Fred Astaire movies at one point. I'm not sure we still do, but anyway. All right, well, we're just about out of time. We only got three cars right now. Oh, we got number four is ready. Maria told me yesterday afternoon, which is a 2020. I don't think you've worked the numbers on it yet, but a 2020 all-wheel drive Prius with 67,000 miles on it. And this was, and I could probably pull up the picture for you, was hitting the rear bumper. So it was a salvage car.
It's a repaired title.
It's a repaired title. Yeah. I can show you what it was. It was I anticipated that behind the piece of plastic on the bumper is a big aluminum rail that is the actual physical bumper. I anticipated that was going to be have to be replaced. I took the plastic cover off, and that was fine. There's two metal brackets that mounts to. Those got bent.
Those crumple points.
Yeah. And we replaced those.
They're made to do that, so.
Yeah. Yep. And we replaced those and did a little bit of repair work on the bumper cover. And it is butter. I drove it last week, 55 miles per gallon, just 54 point something. Just hangs right there. Amazing car. It's like butter. So that one will probably go out today or Monday. And it ain't going to be there long. We're going to be back to three cars again. But we are gaining, I think.
Yeah. So. Well, maybe two cars, because I had somebody come look at one of the RAV4s yesterday.
Okay. Well, we'll see. All right. Well, Pete, we're out of time.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. Well,
we'll see what other fires we can put out this morning.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you in a while. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
All right.
Everybody, have a great weekend and enjoy the weather.
Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T. Rubble's more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine, all mine. I hear sleigh bells ringing smack in the middle of May. I go around like there's snow around. I feel so good, it's Christmas every day. Lee, I've a carousel, fee are as I can tell, and I'm riding for free. So if you're down and out of miracles, I've got a pocket full.